Thank you once again to Rodney and to Helen. We'd ask you to turn in the scriptures to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. This is the central chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, recorded for us over three chapters of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's the longest and fullest sermon on record that we have of Jesus Christ, and he has many things to teach in it. And we're going to read the second part of chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And may God write his word upon our hearts tonight as we have read the scriptures in this meeting. Let's pray. Seek the Lord just for a moment. This morning we were speaking in the main to God's people, and we were thinking about the one thing that was needful for us this year. Paul says, this one thing I do, and I trust that you and I, as God's believing people, will, by the grace of God, do what Paul did. Forget the things that are behind, reach forth to the things that are before, and press toward the mark. That is so essential for every Christian. But tonight we've read a message that is essential not only for the Christian, but for those who are not saved. And in verse 33, if you just think of these words as we come to pray, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here we have a message, I believe, tonight for the unsaved. We begin this year, 2007, and we want to get first things first in all of our lives. Well, there's a matter that you need to attend to, and that is the salvation that is provided in and through Christ. And I trust that God will give me the grace to preach and you the grace to hear, and that there will be a meeting of the Word of God in your heart. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the one who is with us at all times, and the one who is especially near when the book of God is opened, the book that thou hast given. We thank thee that every word is given by inspiration and is profitable. And we thank thee for these verses that we've read this evening, and this mighty sermon that Jesus Christ, thy Son, preached when he was here upon the earth. We pray that thou wilt lay into our hearts even the weighty lessons that there are to learn, not only from the verses that we read, but from the whole sermon, and teach us thy way. We ask thee for thy help now in the ministry of the word. Glorify Christ. Help us to make much of him, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The very first Sabbath day of the year 2007, and the first evening gospel service, the first opportunity that we have to preach to the unconverted, and the first invitation that you will receive to come to Christ this year. So it's an important time, and I invite your attention, and I trust that you will give your heart and your mind over to the Word of God this evening. The Bible has a lot to say about first things. The word first is mentioned in the Scriptures about 410 times. 250 of these references are in the Old Testament, and the other 160 in the New. And so you go right back to the first chapter, and you're going to read about the first day when God called this universe into existence, creating the heaven and the earth. When darkness pervaded over the great deep, he moved, the Bible says, upon the face of the waters, and he created light. Let there be light. And there was light. And we're told that God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. This created light, of course, was before the creation of the two great lights, the sun and the moon. So there was light before the sun and the moon, and of course the stars. This was the very first day of creation. The evening and the morning were the first day, a 24-hour period, and this is the very first time that the word is mentioned in the Scriptures. And then you're going to go on to read about the first altar, the first tables, the first barn, the first fruits, the first commandment, the first man, the first begotten, the first day, the first covenant, the first tabernacle, the first faith, love, works, angel, resurrection in heaven. And here, you may call it the first priority. That's what the Lord is speaking about in his sermon. Here in Matthew 6 and verse 33. The first priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Savior speaks about a number one priority in this text. A matter that is to be given first position in our lives. A concern that is above all concerns. An issue that is to occupy the chief place in all our pursuits, in all our ambitions. Other concerns, no doubt, have crept into the lives of the people to whom the Lord Jesus is addressing these remarks. They were concerned about food, what they were going to eat, and about drink, what they were going to drink. And they were concerned about clothing, what they were going to wear. And they were troubled about life itself and about tomorrow, what the future had in store for them. Now we may not appreciate it as much in the modern, affluent, prosperous society in which we are living, this age of abundance and provision, because we have plenty to eat, we have plenty to drink, and we have plenty to put on. But these things are the necessities of life itself. And without them we're dead men. We can't survive without the basic requirements of life. You can starve with hunger if you don't get food and drink. And here in Ulster you can starve with cold as well. They don't understand that across the water. But to starve is to be deprived. So in the first case you're deprived of food and drink and you starve to death. In the other case you're starved of heat. And if you haven't got the right clothing to put on, you will also die. But even these basic commodities of everyday living are not to be our chief concern. There's something more important, the Saviour is telling us here, than attending to the body. It's attending to the soul. There's something that is more important than providing for the temporal. And that is providing for the eternal. Spiritual requirements are infinitely more vital than material requirements. One can satisfy in this life only, but makes not provision for the life to come. The other brings satisfaction not only in this life, but for the countless years of eternity. Only the fool makes preparation to sustain the body in this life only. The wise will make preparation for the soul in the future existence of mankind. What is your priority for this year? I'm speaking in particular to those who have made no preparation for their eternal future. And though there is a message for us all in the words of Christ in this verse, certainly there's a very appropriate and fitting message for you who know not the Lord Jesus. What is your priority for this year? For some it's going to be your job. For others it is going to be your career. For some it's going to be money, your bank balance. For others it's going to be a house, a car, or some other earthly possession. It may even be an ambition that you have. The pursuit of earthly temporal things belong to the carnal and the unregenerate man, those who do not really care about the soul. You see what the Lord said in verse 32? He says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." You must be wise unto salvation. You must lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. You must, my friend, without Christ, see to it that it is well with your soul. That is your number one priority. First things first this year. I want you to look at this text briefly this evening. I want you to see within the text, within the words of the Saviour, there is first of all our chief priority. Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." If I was to summarize briefly what Jesus is referring to, I would put it into two words: heaven and holiness. The kingdom of God there representing heaven, and his righteousness representing true holiness. You must seek heaven. There are but two destinations after death in the great eternity: heaven and hell. If you continue without the mercy of God found in Christ alone and him crucified, you will die in your sins. And where Jesus is, there you cannot be. You will go out into the blackness of eternal night without God and without hope. You will sink everlastingly in the caverns of the damned. You will burn in the unquenchable fires of the lake of fire. Therefore, you must seek heaven. Heaven is the home of every child of God. I'm glad tonight this world is not my home. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Praise God, we've got a better place to go to, a better country, a better home. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Heaven is the place of eternal joy and bliss and peace and satisfaction. In that home of eternal delight, there will be no more death. You think of all the things that the curse brought to this earth. Those things are going to vanish away forever when we get home to heaven. There's no more death there. There's no more sorrow. This life is filled with tears. It's a veil of tears in which we live. But there's no sorrow in heaven. And there's no more crying. And there's no more pain. There's no more night. And there's no more curse. Rather, in that great city of celestial light and glory, there is everlasting happiness in the presence of God and of the Lamb. And we shall see His face. We'll see the Lord someday. God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And all will be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. We have everything to look forward to as God's redeemed people. One of the names of heaven is the name that is mentioned here by the Lord, the kingdom of God. Now, as you read that phrase in the scripture, sometimes the kingdom of God is a reference to the Christian age in which we live. At other times, it is a reference to the blessings of the gospel. But ultimately, it is speaking about heaven, the place where the king bears rule. And you must seek it. It must be your chief priority. Make sure that you have made preparation for heaven. Now, some of you are seeking for other things, earthly things, and you're putting them first in your life. And you're putting your time and your energy and your abilities and your enthusiasm and your money into these other things. But Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I'm putting it to you tonight, dear unsaved man, woman, young person. You need to get your priorities right. You need to get your eyes principally upon heaven, God's kingdom, and make sure that you have heavenly citizenship, that you are a member of that kingdom, that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and King. Tell me tonight, is heaven your home? Have you got that certainty that when you leave this life, that you're going there? There's no other concern. There's no other care that is more important than this. No other pursuit that is more vital. To know that you are on your way to heaven. Jesus says, seek heaven. Seek the kingdom of God. But holiness is the other chief priority. For Jesus tells us to seek His righteousness. In fact, holiness is the way to heaven. His righteousness is the door to everlasting life. God's righteousness found in Christ alone is the only acceptable covering for sinful man. You need to be clothed for heaven. You need the old, filthy rags of man's righteousness removed and the sinful garments of sin taken away so that you might be dressed in His righteousness alone, spotless to stand before His throne. The only ones who are fit to stand in the holy presence of God in heaven and gather around the eternal throne are those that are clothed in the spotless garment of Christ's righteousness. There's a very interesting and most challenging story related by the Lord Jesus on this subject later on in Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 22, where He speaks a parable about the kingdom of heaven, and He likens the kingdom of heaven to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and the servants are sent forth to call in the guests. But as you read down the parable and you come to verse 10 of chapter 22 of Matthew's Gospel, it says, so the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. This is the kingdom of heaven. And the king comes in to survey the guests. And this is a picture of the state of affairs in time to come, and of how we need to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And the man that hasn't got on this garment, called here the wedding garment, is the man that is cast out forevermore into darkness, into a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a fearful place indeed. It's the only acceptable garment with God. I gaze into heaven tonight, and I see that innumerable company of redeemed saints standing before the throne of God. They are from every nation, the Bible tells us, from every kindred, every people, and every tongue. And they're standing with divine acceptance before the Lamb. And they're praising Him with a loud voice. And we're told that they are clothed with white robes, and that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's coming a wonderful day of consummation. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a day of celebration when the bride of Christ, all the redeemed, all the saved ones, celebrates her union with the Savior. You're saved tonight. You are united to Christ right now. You have been brought near to Christ, and you have an indissoluble link with Him. But there's coming a day when that union, that marriage bond, as it were, is going to be celebrated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Word of God tells us in Revelation chapter 19 about this, and verse 7, where we are told to be glad and to rejoice and give honour to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And listen to what verse 8 tells us. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. My friend, have you got on the wedding garment? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Has His righteousness been imputed to you by faith? Jesus says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The prodigal son came home to the father's house. What a day of rejoicing that was. And you remember how that he was clothed, he was dressed, and provision was made for him in every way. The Bible tells us that he was given the best robe. And that again is a wonderful representation of the robe of righteousness. It's the best robe. It's the only robe. It's the only one that will do. Is there some prodigal in this meeting tonight, and you're living in the far country? You're away from God. You're living in the pleasures of this life. Your life is a life that is lived apart from God. Oh, that the Lord would bring you to an end of yourself, just like He did to the prodigal. And you would come to realize the provision that there is in the Father's house. Aye, and this very night that you would start on your journey for the Father's house. And my friend, when you get to the Father's house, there'll be provision for you. You come in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus, and there'll be the best robe to clothe you, the robe of righteousness. It's the only garment that's acceptable with God. So not only is there this chief priority, but in this exhortation of Christ, Matthew 6 and 33, there is our careful pursuit, because Jesus says, seek ye first. We must seek this. You're not saved tonight, you must seek this. This is man's responsibility. The sinner has a duty before God to seek him, his kingdom, and his righteousness. And that word seek suggests to us effort. If needs be, pains, diligence. You go out of your way to seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. You make it your chief priority. And of course the Bible over and over again tells us that we are to seek such a thing. God says, those that seek me early shall find me. Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. I've often said it, and I'll say it again tonight, that that verse reminds us and suggests to us that there's coming a day when the Lord will not be found. That's why you're to seek him while he may be found. I believe that's a reference to the day of grace, the season of opportunity, when the Lord may be found, when the Lord is near, and he's always near in the preaching of the word. Jesus is passing this way tonight in this very meeting, and you're to seek the Lord while he may be found. Hosea tells us, and we have the text here as you leave the church, and that is to be a reminder to you, not only tonight, but every time you leave the house of God without Jesus Christ, it is time to seek the Lord. It's time, my friend. You've wasted years. You've wasted all your life thus far. Is it not time, as we begin this year, to seek the Lord? I believe it is. Amos says, seek the Lord, and ye shall live. You haven't begun to live until you've sought the Lord. Paul says, seek those things which are above. Isn't that what we're talking about? Jesus says, seek and ye shall find. But you know, there is a warning that goes along with the seeking, and that is in the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 13 and verse 24. Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Here's a warning. Thinking again of what we read there from the prophecy of Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. We're speaking here, we're reading here about a people who are seeking the Lord, but he's not being found. They're seeking to enter in, but they're not able to enter in. Similar words are found in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 34, where Jesus says, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. He was speaking to the Jews. To the Jewish people that he preached to, that he gave opportunity to, that they might be saved, that they might come to know him, that they might find grace in his sight. But they would not. They refused him. They turned their back upon him. Jesus says, there's coming a day, you will seek me, but you'll not find me. And where I am, you'll not be able to come. My friend, that's the warning. Jesus is saying to you tonight, seek the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. Seek heaven. Seek holiness. Because be warned, there's a day coming when you will seek and you'll not be able to find, you'll not obtain. And you know, as you seek God and his righteousness, I want you to know something. He is seeking you. This is a wonderful thing. This is a marvel of divine grace. You're told to seek the Lord. You're told to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. But I want you to know, as you take that step to seek him, God is seeking you. God is searching you out. You know, the Bible says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You're lost in this meeting, without hope in this world, without hope in the world to come. And you begin to seek the Lord. I tell you, he's seeking you tonight. And there will be a meeting, a glad meeting, when you come to find him. Alas, the words of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21 are so true of our generation today. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Is that you tonight? You're seeking your own things every day, every week, every year thus far, and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Well, the Lord wants you to seek him. Our careful pursuit. And then thirdly and finally and briefly, there is our certain provision. Jesus says, all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Those things that they were worried about. Those things that the Lord has mentioned in this sermon that really were causing these people a concern from day to day. Jesus says they will be added unto you. In other words, you put God first and everything else will fall into its rightful place. Christ gives us a gracious promise that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that every other legitimate need in our lives, in the course of our lives, will be supplied. The psalmist says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. These things will be super added to you. That's what the word means in the original. Now, very few people know the difference between addition and subtraction when it comes to salvation. Foolish people say, if you seek the kingdom of God, everything else will be subtracted. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus is saying. He says, you seek the kingdom of God and everything else will be added, not taken away. You don't fall short of anything when you come to Christ. You don't miss anything when you come to Christ. You're not a loser to become a Christian. No, my friend, you are one that gains everything. And so I say to you tonight, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You leave your daily necessities with God. You place tomorrow in his hand. You make sure that you're right with him now. Live for God today. Make sure that you've sought him, that you have a right relationship with him. And everything else will fall into its rightful place in your life. Here we stand tonight at the beginning of another year that the Lord in his mercy has brought us into. And if God continues with us through this year, we will be pleased to have another 12 months of service together in this church, looking forward to the work. I believe that this year God will bless his people and God will do great and mighty things for us. But if you're not saved tonight, you've got a first priority here. You've got something that you must attend to. Right now at the beginning of the year, on this first Lord's Day, you've got to obey the command of Jesus to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and leave everything else with him. Let us all pray.